Welcome to Voices of Divine Wisdom, the official podcast of Divine Wisdom Catholic Academy. I'm Peter Ermisch, Vice Chair of the Board of Trustees. Since 2009, Divine Wisdom has been a place where faith, family, and academic excellence are our priority. As a school community, we remain committed to our mission, sparking minds, enriching souls, and inspiring futures. This is our final episode of the school year, and what better way to close out the season than by welcoming a very special guest, Bishop Robert Brennan, Bishop of the Diocese of Brooklyn. Today's theme is Voices That Inspire, a conversation with Bishop Brennan on faith, families, and Catholic education. We are honored to welcome Bishop Robert Brennan, the Diocesan Bishop of Brooklyn. His steady support of Catholic education and his care for children have been a meaningful source of guidance and encouragement for us. Today, we look forward to hearing his insights on the role of families, the importance of faith in a student's early years, and the future of Catholic education. Let's listen in on the conversation.
Bishop Brennan, thank you for joining us today. It's a privilege to have the opportunity to speak with you. Allow me for a moment to introduce myself to our listeners. I'm Bob Sherling, Chair of the Board of Trustees here at Divine Wisdom Catholic Academy, and I'll be guiding today's discussion. I'm joined by Miriam Benici, our principal, who is also part of this special institution and the discussion today. So Bishop Brennan, again, thank you for joining us.
I'm glad to be here. I was here for Catholic Schools Week and heard about the podcast and couldn't resist.
Great, great. Well, this is our seventh podcast. It's hard to believe we've covered so many topics this year, and what a great way to round out this year's podcast with you joining us. Let's talk about reaching families through the media, which is fitting since we're doing a podcast here today. At the Academy, we use platforms like our podcast, Instagram, and Facebook to keep current families informed and engaged, while also giving prospective families a window into our vibrant school community and mission. You also host the Big City Catholics podcast, which has become a meaningful way to reach people across the diocese, along with Catholic Schools BQ on Instagram. From your perspective, Bishop, how can tools like these support Catholic education and strengthen communication within our school communities?
On one level, at least for me, the Big City Catholic podcast started with an experience I had during COVID in Columbus. In Columbus, we had an independent Catholic radio station. And during the time of COVID, I was on daily. It was my way of communicating with the people of the diocese because there were no other simple ways to communicate.
Right.
And as that wound down, we moved into from daily to weekly to a weekly faith discussion. So you take that experience and you bring it here to Brooklyn and Queens, and the podcast becomes a great way simply to talk to the people of the diocese. There are other podcasts that, you know, are very learned and break open particular areas of study. This, for me, is a communication tool, and I think that's where it works well with our schools as well. It's to tell the story. We have some of the traditional media like newspaper and television. But sometimes the television, you have little clips. You get 7 seconds or a minute or two to talk about some weighty issues. Here, you can have something of a discussion, an exchange back and forth.
There's nothing I like more, Bishop, in the morning than to see the day's Instagram post from the Academy, whether it's kids in a classroom, whether it's outside, whatever it might be. There's always something going on here about student life that's being captured through that mechanism.
I have to confess, I'm not really connected to all of those different platforms in the sense that I check in on them. But I know that with the communications office, I'm so glad for our communications office, we're posting all the times. And I think Instagram's another great way of telling the story. It's a visual way. You can tell a story, but when you can see the smiles, when you can see the action, it really brings it home.
Let's talk about faith and culture in school life, if we could. Our community includes families from diverse backgrounds. Each day, we have students share their culture during morning announcements and monthly celebrations. When you visit Catholic schools in the diocese, how do you see this rich diversity reflected in the daily life of the schools you visit?
Just as each school has its own diversity within it, there's a diversity of the way we celebrate diversity. So in every school, it's very, very different. And so it depends on the makeup of the student body. What's common, though, is the unity. And that, I think, is the beauty of our Catholic schools. We have a lot to bring in to celebrate different ethnic communities, different experiences. But when we're here, we're one. And we're one engaged in learning, one engaged in knowing Jesus Christ. And we make use of those diverse experiences, the different expressions. It's so great to, you know, you take the Blessed Mother Mary. It's so great to hear people celebrating the different titles and the different feast days of Mary and the ways that they do it through music, through culture, through food even. You know, it's great.
Well, you must have a lot of experience with this diversity in your role as chair of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops Committee on Cultural Diversity in the Church. Any thoughts about how we can continue to reflect that diversity in our school community? And what are some of the themes like unity that you mentioned that would really drive that?
So my two qualifications for cultural diversity in the church for this committee, and that those two are Brooklyn and Queens. That's it. I bring Brooklyn and Queens to the table. Our schools are rooted in human dignity. Our schools are rooted in respect, and our schools are rooted in love for God and love for the children. And so when we see our school administration and our teachers really loving the children, that surpasses all of the cultural diversity. That brings it all in and celebrates it, but it's each child is loved for who they are. And I think that's a great gift in our Catholic schools.
Miriam, is there a particular example of that diversity and celebrating those different cultures that you particularly enjoy having happen during the course of the year?
One of the things that I encourage our teachers to always remember, that they are the examples of what respect and love and kindness, what it looks like. And for them to model that and for them to help our children be proud of their cultures and their diversity and to bring it into the classroom, and that everyone's lived experience adds a richness to their classrooms. And that whether they're Catholic or not, that it all falls under that umbrella of we need to love each other and celebrate each other. It just enriches our school community. So when kids come and they want to share about their culture, everyone celebrates them. And I think that's one of the most wonderful things about our community.
I know I've learned a lot over the course of the last couple of years as we've really focused on that. Thanks, Miriam. Bishop, if we could, let's pivot to choosing Catholic education. Many parents make sacrifices to provide their children with a Catholic education, especially here at Divine Wisdom, where we're situated in District 26, one of the top public school districts in the city. What message would you share with those families about the value and lasting impact of the choice of a Catholic education and why it's worth the sacrifice?
When we speak about Catholic education, we're talking about the education of the whole person, not just individual components of the person. It's not just academic, but character and the virtues. But it's also, and very importantly, it's also faith. We're rooted in the Catholic faith and the expression of God who so loved the world that he sent his only son, and that God is present right here. And we seek to know him and love him better. So we do everything. This is not taking anything away from the public schools. And I'm so pleased to know many teachers in the public school system who are great teachers. What we can offer, though, is an unapologetic expression of who Jesus Christ is and why that makes a difference. So, you know, the simple example I use often, you learn the sciences, just like you would in any school. But the deeper you go in the sciences, the closer you get to God. It's unavoidable. And that's not trying to lower the bar on intellectual formation. That's actually showing that intellectual formation leads us on a path.
You mentioned talking about developing the whole person, and that's something we really believe here in the Academy. And we have programs like the Pope Francis Society, our affiliation with the Lukumi Good Deeds Council, and our student government that gives students opportunities to lead through service. As a school, we remind our students that we are made in God's image, but we also want them to be leaders in reflecting that and celebrating that. Why do you think it's important for Catholic schools to form young leaders? And how can we help them follow Jesus through prayer, service, and love?
How often do we meet, Miriam, I'm sure you have the same experience. We meet people who are leaders in the community who will say, oh, I'm a graduate of, and name a particular school, both their elementary school and their high school, these Catholic schools. And they often say that formation really set them on that course. Sometimes people will say, it saved my life. It's amazing. Leadership development is so important because I think our young people have an awful lot to give. And I think when we give them the chance, then they can grow and be important leaders in our community. And certainly we want leaders who are rooted in the truth of the gospel and who know that they're loved by God and by their educators and their families.
And these programs here at Divine Wisdom have allowed our kids to really participate and give their thoughts and ideas on how they can help their school community and their wider community, and setting them up for that.
That's exactly right. You know, my visit here was sort of an official visit for Catholic Schools Week. And when I heard podcast, I said, oh, I'm interested. But one of the things that really stood out here at Divine Wisdom were all of these different groups, and the student ambassadors who were leading me around were so proud of those different groups and articulate in the way they explained it, and their care for creation, their respect for the human person, the good deeds, the international program. I was so impressed by the various different groups that you have and the impact that they have on the kids.
Well, you'll get to see more of that when you talk to two of our graduating students.
Yes.
in part two of this podcast. Let's wrap it up here about governance and partnership. We were one of the original six schools to transition from a parish school to an academy back in 2009. As members of the Board of Trustees, we work closely with school leadership and our parish leadership, including our pastor and parish staff, to support the mission of Catholic education. In your visits to schools, do you see this model working well, the relationship between parish and school?
2 points. In terms of the academy model and the boards, it's sort of a mixed experience. Like anything else, where it works really, really well. Where it needs improvement, it really does need work. I think the biggest challenge that some of the schools would experience would be the recruitment of members for the board, people who are willing to give what it takes to be part of a board. I mean, that's a lot of sacrifice on the part of the board members and a lot of belief and rolling up the sleeves and hard work. It's not just a ceremonial thing. That's going to be a challenge, is to develop a new generation of board members and leaders. In terms of the parish school partnership, again, it's where it works. It works really, really well. There are some schools that are very identified with the particular parish where they live. But in parish life, I see the presence of a school, whether it be on campus or as part of a particular region, that this school can be a real source of energy for the parish. That's where our families are.
And we've been blessed here at the Academy by having parents who've graduated, who've been willing to join the Board of Trustees and be active participants in that board, because they are looking to give back and appreciate the model that we have here and the things that we've been able to do for their students and what the students have been able to achieve here at the Academy. So thank you for that, Bishop. Looking ahead, what are you most hopeful about, or what inspires you most about the future of Catholic education?
Our superintendent, Deacon Kevin McCormick, is always saying the best is yet to come. And when you see the commitment of people, I see a real passion for Catholic education. I see our students who are our leaders and their gifts, their talents, their generosity. I'm excited for Catholic school education. I think we're going to continue to grow stronger. We're going to reach out to more of our families. We're still hopeful about this federal tax voucher for scholarships, which will give a greater opportunity to many, many more families. You know, it would allow an institution like Futures in Education to bring many more families into the scholarship program. And it's an assist to the parents, not to the schools. It's an assist to the parents. You know, I was in Ohio for two and a half years, and I can see what a school choice state looks like. And they're going to be building schools. The need is great. The people are committed to it. People love it. We depend on the goodness and the charity of so many people who support Futures in Education and other scholarship programs. However, something like a tax credit would expand that and bring the opportunity to many more families, especially you might call them the families in the middle, because this makes now scholarships less of a charity and more a use of their tax dollars for education. It respects what they're contributing to society and to the governments.
Yeah, Bishop, as the chair of the Board of Trustees, I can tell you, we stand with you in terms of that hope and excitement about the possibilities of the future. Our board members certainly are here for reasons that I think we all would celebrate in terms of what we're able to do for our kids, all to make sure that they become great Catholic leaders. So thank you for that. And hopefully our excitement and hope will manifest itself in positive things as we go forward. So as we wrap up, any final thoughts you'd like to give? And then we're going to ask you if you want to share with us a fun fact. We'll let you decide if you want to do that or not. But any final thoughts as we wrap up part one of this podcast?
Simply my deep appreciation for all of those who are invested in Catholic education, the parents themselves who make sacrifices, the different boards and leadership volunteers in all the parishes and in the schools, institutions like Futures in Education. And then on the ground, most especially, as the year comes to a close, this is a good time to say thanks to all of our teachers, to our administrators, and all the people who are in the day-to-day work of our schools. One of the things I say to the principals and to the teachers when I have the opportunity is, for better or for worse, you know, I wish it were a greater investment, a greater involvement, and we're always going to try to draw people into the life of the church. But our school personnel are, for many people, the face of the church. That may be the only experience of the face of the church. And I'm so grateful for the way they do that. And so for many families, they're kind of touching the hem, if you will, to use that gospel image, touching the hem of Jesus's cloak, because they see in our school personnel, that's maybe the only experience of the church. Now, hasn't it a challenge? Because we want to invite people to a fuller experience of the life of the church. But I'm so incredibly grateful to our school people on the ground who help to connect people, the bridge with the church.
Wonderful. Bishop Brennan, thank you so much for your time for part one of this podcast. Miriam, thank you for joining us. We're going to be moving to a part two where the bishop will have the opportunity to speak with two of our academy students. And I'm sure you'll enjoy that dialogue as well. So, Bishop, on behalf of the Board of Trustees and everyone here at the Academy, thank you for your time this morning. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you.
We've just completed the first part of our recording, and now two of our outstanding eighth grade students, Nicholas Roeder and Sophia Starsick, are very excited to meet you and record the next segment. Nicholas, who will be attending Xavier High School, is receiving the Pillar for Academic Excellence. And Sophia, who will be attending Townsend Harris High School, is receiving the Transformable Leadership Award.
I wanted to thank Bishop Brennan for joining us today on the podcast. My name is Nicholas Roeder, and this is...
My name is Sophia Starsick. We're both in eighth grade, and today is our last day of school.
Wow, thanks for giving me time during your last day of school. I'm so proud to be part of your podcast today.
Hopefully you'll sign our yearbooks a little bit later.
Good idea.
Yeah.
We just had some questions for you, and I'm going to start it off. What does a typical day in the life of a bishop look like?
The amazing thing, and probably the most exciting thing about being a bishop, is that there is no such thing as a typical day. So certainly my own day, and for most bishops, begins with prayer. It's the first thing we do. I spend time in the chapel or on days like this, sitting outside to do certain prayer. There are certain prayers that I'm committed to. Being a priest, I make a promise to pray the office, and then I have my own devotional prayers and time with God. But then today It got me out early to visit a school. I love those days. And this is my second time here at Divine Wisdom in the year. Sometimes it's saying daily mass, either in a parish or in the chapel. Sometimes there are days that are all-day meetings. Those are the boring days, but those are probably the necessary things to make the other things great. But for me, the most exciting thing is when I get to visit a parish, whether it be just a parish visitation, a confirmation. Were you guys confirmed this year?
I'm actually Greek Orthodox.
Ah, very good.
I'm going to be confirmed in October,
right here in October. I love when I get to go to visit a parish, celebrate confirmation, or just be amongst the parish life. You know, Greek Orthodox, I was with the Greek Orthodox bishop last night. They had a concert honor of the Patriarch Bartholomew's feast day. And so we have a great relationship with the Greek Orthodox here in New York City.
In your opinion, how can young people these days grow closer to God in such a digital and fast-changing time period?
Isn't it true there are so many distractions, right? We need time to listen. Sometimes it's just taking note of the fact of friendship with Jesus Christ. My hope is that as you graduate a school like this, that you've at least come to know Jesus Christ, not just as a historical figure, but as a person. And when you have that, you can relate to him, just talk to him. Sometimes we go to Jesus talking about what we're grateful for, what's going well, let him share the victories with us. Sometimes we go to Jesus and say, Lord, this is what I'm worried about. You know, there are a lot of things on our minds, aren't there? Especially as you're beginning a new phase. And sometimes we just have to say, Jesus, this is what's going on in my life and I need some help.
Do you have a favorite saint or Bible verse that helps you through these tough times?
My favorite Bible verse is John 3:16. It's a famous one. In the old days, when I was a kid growing up, you'd also often see somebody holding a sign at a ball field saying John 3:16. It says that for God so loved the world, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that all those who believe in him might not die, but might have eternal life. That's my favorite Bible. To me, it says everything. Saint, I've got a bunch of them. My name is Robert. I've always been close to Robert Bellarmine. He was a voice of reason in very tumultuous times. I kind of go to him and say, you know, help me to be calm like you. Help me to be steady. I love St. Agnes. I was a priest in St. Agnes for many years. She's a teenage saint. And then more modern, a teenage saint, soon to be Carlo Acutis. He's going to be canonized soon. So I feel kinship with him. And then another one, two saints I grew up with as they were like real people, John Paul II. And Mother Teresa. They were famous figures when I was growing up, and they had such an influence on my life, and now they're saints. So it's kind of cool to see somebody who you kind of knew about, somebody you met, become a saint.
Okay, so as Catholics, how can we make a difference in the world? Like little things that we can do every day to further our faith?
Well, you know, just speaking of Mother Teresa, she says, don't worry about doing great things, do simple things with great love. And I think that as Catholics, as Christians together, we can do simple things with great love. Maybe we do sometimes the same things as other people are doing, but we do it for a different reason. We do it because of that relationship with Jesus Christ. And we need to strive to do it with great love, not for what I'm going to get out of it, but for how it's going to make a difference in somebody else's life. When you think about it, how did Jesus work? He worked one by one, two by two, right? He engaged individual people and let them realize how important they were to him. They got to realize how important they were in his eyes. And if we can do that, just one or two people at a time that they know that when they spend some time with us, that they might know something about how much they're loved and respected, and that comes from that friendship with Christ. Does that make sense?
Yes. You don't have to change the whole world as long as you change someone. That's really important.
That's a good way of putting it.
And that one person can light another person, and then that
keeps
way
going on.
You got it.
Touch the whole world.
You got it. Can I jump in for a minute? I'm going to ask you guys a question, because one of the things that I was so impressed with when I came here for Catholic Schools Week were the different groups and the societies that you have here. precisely for doing that. Could you tell me about the Lukumi Foundation, for example? Tell me a little bit about it.
Sure. So I'm a member of the Lukumi Foundation Good Deeds Council here. And there's our book right there. And we had an opportunity to write essays about our good deeds that we've done here and be published in the book, which was incredible. So the Lukumi Foundation works with kids all over the world to do good deeds. And sometimes we'll even do good deeds like in our hometowns, in our communities, that end up, we all end up working together in the end. And I think that's just incredible.
And the book is called Inspiring Stories That Make a Difference. So the Lukumi Foundation is really a worldwide organization,
yes,
right? And so
yes,
you're connected with students from all around the world?
All around the world, yes. All of us come together at the end of each month to talk about all the good deeds we've been doing and to give each other ideas on how we can inspire other people.
And have you seen some of the fruits of that? Have you seen that take form here?
Over Easter break, there was a summit in which kids from all over the world came to New York City. We met all of them and they toured our school, and it was just such an amazing experience. We got to learn about what they do, like the good things that they're doing in their communities. And one thing that the Italian students said, they said, "Oh, your school is so colorful. We're going to start decorating our school." And I thought that was just something that stuck with
me. You inspire each other.
Just a little thing like that can help brighten everyone's day.
Exactly. And in something like that, you start to see how it explodes around the world, right?
You're just
changing one person, but that one person has a network all around the world. Yes. So impressive things that you've got going on here.
What's your favorite sacrament to celebrate and why?
Hands down, it's the Eucharist. As a bishop, well, actually, there are moments that are special for a bishop to be able to celebrate confirmation. That's something, and I love doing confirmation because I love the interaction with the young people, we make a connection beforehand, praying with, I see the goodness in our young people. You always inspire me. And then, of course, ordination. That's something only a bishop does. So those are two sacraments that mean a lot to me. But to me, the Eucharist, day after day after day, that encounter with Jesus Christ, to be able myself to receive Jesus in the Eucharist, but then to be able to offer Jesus to the people of God, it's such a privilege. And to me, it's the strength of my day to be able to offer those the prayer of the church and bring Jesus under the form of bread and wine into the world. It's an amazing gift, amazing opportunity.
What helps you stay strong in your faith when things are difficult? I know you mentioned before, like praying, Bible verses, saints. What are some other things that ground you?
I had a priest once say to me that his own prayer was often, you know, when things were tough, he says, "Jesus, you've always managed to help me before. I need you now." And that kind of inspired me, and that became part of my prayer. Sometimes being aware of the way the Lord has helped us, you know, a little bit of gratitude. Gratitude's an extraordinary thing. It's nice to be grateful. It's a good thing to be a person of gratitude. But gratitude also helps me because then I can remember I'm not alone. And God's helped me before, God will help me now. And God's been helping Christians for generations. Doesn't mean that life's going to be easy. Doesn't mean that I'm not going to have my disappointments. Boy, I have my share of those. But it means that I can rise above the disappointments. It means that I can get through the tough times. And it means that I can trust God to do what God wants to do. And that's it. In the end, you say to the Lord, you know, each bishop chooses a motto to guide you. You know, the motto I chose is "Thy will be done," which you know because it's from the Our Father, right? And that's always something that saying the Our Father can remind me, "Thy will be done." In the end, Lord, this is your world, your church.
On earth as it is in heaven.
He has control.
Exactly. Yep. It's in God's hands. Yep. Yeah. That's a good question. Those are good questions. Yeah.
Do you believe that God will always come back, even if you feel like you're in a place of despair?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, some of the greatest saints, again, I go back to Mother Teresa. She spoke about having some really dark moments. And you know, faith isn't just believing in God when everything is easy. That's a good feeling. real faith is believing in God when...
when times get tough and when you feel like, is he even there sometimes? You just have to keep, stay strong and hold your faith.
That's real faith. That's real faith. You got it. You hit the nail on the head, you know? People sometimes say, Father, I've lost my faith. And I said, no, just the fact that you're saying that to me tells me you have faith. What you're losing is the consolation that faith gives you, and God will give that back to you. Absolutely. You know, the late Pope Francis said, God never gets tired of forgiving us. He never gets tired of reaching out to us. Sometimes we get tired of turning to him, but he'll always bring us back.
On the topic of popes, what are some changes that we can expect in the Catholic Church following the arrival of Pope Leo?
That's a good question, because the simple answer is I don't know. And that's not a bad thing. I was just a little bit older than the two of you when Pope John Paul II was elected. So you're coming out of eighth grade, going rising freshman. I was a sophomore in high school. And I remember being excited about a new pope, but not having a clue what to expect. And it turned out to be a major transformative moment. He came to Madison Square Garden the following year, and I expected something very formal. And what I saw in John Paul was so different than anything I expected. And when you think about what he did for the life of the church, how he brought about an excitement in being Catholic, he brought about a sense of belonging because of all of his visits. So many people felt a connection to him. And that was a beginning of a transformative era. You're at the beginning of a transformative era too, because like him, John Paul was a young pope. We have Pope Leo is a young pope. He's going to be around for a little bit, we hope. And I think he's going to be full of surprises meeting the needs of the church in the next century. And you guys, you're part of it. You're not just bystanders. You're part of shaping this future. You're going to be part of living in this new era. So in terms of specifics, I don't know. But what I do sense already is a new excitement about being Christian, a new excitement about being Catholic, a new sense of being close to Jesus, and that has relevance in our lives. And, you know, I'm in it. I'm well invested in the life of the church, right? I'm hoping that for you now, at the beginning of your high school years, this might be an invitation and a source of inspiration for you to be part of this transformation.
It will be. Do you feel that your visits to the parishes help kids feel a sense of belonging, just how the old popes did?
I hope so.
Definitely.
You would say that?
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. I know that you do it for me. It was great. Sophia, you were one of the ambassadors who led me around. And it was just so, it's always so inspiring, so uplifting to see all of you. When I go to do confirmations, I get a few minutes to chat with the kids beforehand, and I ask them about them. I'm not there to do a lecture, but I just to get to know them a little bit. I tell them, one of the things, probably the most important thing I say is the fact that they're there says something about them. It takes courage and generosity to step forward today. And probably one of the most important things I want them to know is how much I admire them. How much I admire you. I admire you for your connection to your Catholic faith, to your Greek Orthodox faith. I admire you for living out your values. I admire you for continuing on this road of faith and friendship with Jesus Christ. We're not going to be perfect, but if I can get that across, how valuable they are, how important they are in the eyes of God, and how important young people are in the eyes of the church, and how important you are, each of you as individuals, if that message sinks in even just a little, and maybe even like you said before, just to one person, it's all worthwhile.
Do you have any final pieces of advice for any eighth graders getting confirmed, or any younger kids receiving the Eucharist for the first time?
To the young people receiving the Eucharist, I would say always stay close to Jesus. He gives you that gift in the Eucharist. And I'll often say that to them, always stay close to Jesus. To you who are eighth graders, remember who you are, remember what matters, and same thing, always stay close to Jesus. Count on him as a friend.
Good.
Good luck to you both in high school. We were talking before the recording, so are you looking forward to high school?
Yes, I definitely am. It's going to be a great experience.
Why did you choose Xavier?
Because of how many of the opportunities it has. I could do so much when I'm there, and I will meet so many good friends, and the brotherhood will really bring me closer to Jesus.
Good for you. Good for you. And that's a bit of a commute from here in Douglaston.
Yes, it's very manageable, though, because there's a couple of other kids doing it, too, so I will never feel alone.
Riding on the train. And you're going to Townsend?
Townsend Harris.
And what excites you about going to Townsend Harris?
Half-day Fridays.
Oh!
No, I'm just kidding.
I love it.
Townsend Harris has a reputation for being incredibly academic, but also balancing, like, arts and culture. It is a humanities school, so I'm excited to, like, follow my passion of reading, writing, art, theater, and being able to really follow that and contribute.
Well, congratulations on your graduation. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for allowing me to be on your podcast today.
Thank you for coming.
And good luck. Best of everything in high school.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Bishop.
As we close out our final episode of the school year, on behalf of the entire Divine Wisdom community, I want to sincerely thank Bishop Brennan for sharing his insights and for inspiring us to continue living out our mission. It has been truly an honor to have him with us. What a meaningful way to end both our podcast season and our school year. Wishing all our families a wonderful, safe summer. We look forward to seeing you in September.
Suzanne Carl is our executive producer. Recording, editing, mixing, and mastering by Tony DiToronto. Bob Sherling is the chairperson at Divine Wisdom Catholic Academy. Miriam Benici is the principal. Music by Maria Caputo. Logo created by Queen Snopey. Special thanks this week to Miriam Benici, Peter Ermish, Nicholas Roeder, Robert Sherling, Sophia Starsik, and Bishop Robert Brennan. Voices of Divine Wisdom Podcast is recorded at Divine Wisdom Catholic Academy in beautiful Queens, New York. This has been a Pixel Noise podcast. To learn more, go to pixelnoise.tech. That's pixelnoise.tech.
Inspire a whole bunch of people.
We attended good. A couple of weeks ago, and the homily was incredible. Aww. That's definitely stuck with me.
Oh, that's so nice. That really was nice. That was a dream of mine to be able to do that someday, and they made it happen.
I felt welcome there. Just your homily, it was just very eye-opening, and every single kid there could connect and relate to it.
Thank you. Again, that kind of goes back to what we say in podcasts. If you know what you appreciate it, you know what you're worth.
Do you take time before Mass to write your homilies?
Absolutely, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I try to look ahead a day or two, yep. And then certainly for the Sundays, yeah. And then next week I'm going to be in San Diego. Wow. Because the bishops from the United States meet twice a year. One year, every November we meet in Baltimore, but the one in the spring moves around. So I'll be seeing bishops from around the country.
I'm sure you'll have lots to discuss with the new pope in.
Exactly.
As Sophia mentioned before.
That's right. Yes. That's right. You guys doing anything special for the summer?
I have camp and I think we're going to Italy.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Where in Italy?
Florence. And then we're going to my family's house in Greece.
Oh, nice. Oh, wonderful.
Italy's very beautiful. I went a couple of years back and we saw everything. It was very fun experience.
Were you in Rome?
Yes.
Good. Very good. It is exciting. Now, what are you doing this summer?
This summer, I get to go to Alaska, and I'm going to be spending some quality time with my family on like a camping trip, which is going to be very exciting because I'm going to get to see people I don't always see.
Something. I've never been to Alaska.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be a beautiful place, as I've heard.
That would be amazing. Amazing. Well, I hope you enjoy it. Are you going to go out on boats and
yep, see all like, of the it. Glaciers? We're going to get to see all of the... just the beautiful environments there.
I mean, I'll be going to Italy this summer.
Oh, very nice.
Because we have the Jubilee of Youth. And so we have a group, you know, keep your eyes open. Our next trip will be Korea. Pope Francis invited us to Korea in 27 or 28. People are doing the fundraising now. But we have a diocesan group going for the Jubilee of Youth. That'll be hopefully Blessed Carlo's canonization. We'll be there for that. So we'll have a couple hundred young people from Brooklyn and Queens.
For my high school, we're going to be traveling to Japan freshman year to do like an administrative thing.
Oh,
where
freshman year?
Yes,
that's
freshman
incredible.
Year. Because I'm in an Ignatian Scholars Program. you have to just qualify with faith and test scores, and you have to go in and talk to them. So we get to go there and inspire a whole different culture to our beliefs.
That's incredible.
Wow, that is a very different culture.
Yeah.
Wow. I've never been over to like that part of the world, to like Asia. I mean, I kind of stepped into Asia from the Holy Land, but the idea of Japan or Korea, Vietnam, it's all new to me. Wow, that's exciting.